But in this passage of Hebrews, there are a couple of things that have jumped out that I got to remember. And the first one starts off in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And the passage of Hebrews chapter 12 is talking about discipline. It's talking about child training. It used to be that I would look a passage like this and look at this as, well, this is punishment. This is punishment for error, and this is punishment for screwing up, and this is punishment for not taking God into account, and this is God beating you around with a stick. This is Him beating up on you. But that's not the idea of discipline. The word for discipline in the Greek New Testament, which is translated discipline here, is the Greek word paideia. And we get pediatric from that word, and it's child training. So what God is doing in the midst of Hebrews chapter 12 is training up His children. And it is normal, it is typical. If it isn't done, then you could question whether you're even a child of God in the first place, the passage even talks about. Maybe you're an illegitimate child if you don't have a father that disciplines you. And so it's part of the process. And this is part of the process. Some of the things we enter in because we make stupid decisions, sometimes it just comes upon us. It just happens. But none of it is out of God's attention. And He allows us to train us, up to be holy, to be different, to be righteous, to be straight, to be His child. And the first thing He says here in verse 1 is, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And that word for race is the word agona. We get the word agony. It implies difficulty. And the first thing that we do is remember those who have gone before us. Because, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, are all of the examples of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And we remember others to begin with. We remember others that have gone before us, that have had the pain, that have had the difficulty, that have lost a spouse, that have had a knee replacement, that have had every bit of the struggles that we had, and they made it. We're going to make it. It's something that Alex reminds Mary Kay and myself often. In the midst of some deadly crisis, he reminds us, we're going to make it. And it's true. And we can remember these examples back here in Hebrews chapter 12. It goes all the way from Adam and talks about Abraham, talks about Noah and Moses and so many of the prophets. But it says in there, none of them ever received the promise of that kingdom that they were promised. And they hung in there. They stayed faithful, but they never actually received the prize. But they had hung on to it by faith. So we can look back at those examples, and we've got them right here in this room, of examples that have gone through the pain. And rather than staying on the pain medication, they replace the pain by looking back, looking at others. By the same token, we can remember others in looking ahead. In our passage here, one of the principles for enduring difficulty occurs, number 7, which is an opportunity for ministry. When you're going through the pain, when you're going through the difficulty, regardless of what it is, and for each one, it's so different, every one of us. A couple of us go through the knee surgery, and we kind of know what's that like. But still, with each individual, we're going to react in a different way. But it's an opportunity then for us to minister to that person on down the road. And we can bring comfort to that person. If we look with me to Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. This is looking to one another in the body. and reach out to that person whose limb is out of joint, that person who's limping, that person is struggling, that person is sitting all by themselves and they don't know anybody else and they feel so lonely. And I know it's being encouraged now even in the public schools since the last shooting, if anything good comes out of it, and goodwill. But it's rather than walking out of the classroom and protesting the NRA, look around for that person that's sitting all by themselves. And they're so lonely and they've got no friends. And just go and sit down with them and minister to others and work with them. And the struggles that you've had, you're now going to be able to share with them. You know the pain. The comfort God has provided you with, you can share with them. So the first thing, rather than remembering the pain medication, is remember others. Both those that have gone before and those that are going to come after. But a second thing that's also in the Hebrews 12 passage, I think it's just an amazing passage of Scripture. No wonder it's my favorite. It's just incredible. Not only remembering others, but remembering love. And we find it in verse 5. And you have forgotten, because they're struggling and moaning and groaning. And it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. We're children of God. My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't regard lightly that pain or that struggle or that fear. Nor faint when you are reproved by him, because he's training you along as one of his child, to one of his children. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It's out of love. He says, remember love. And the discipline, the pain, the struggle, all of it comes ultimately from God's love. When Peter was going through the struggle following his rejection of Christ, when at the garden he's ready to fight and bring in the kingdom, brings out his sword, Jesus tells him, put it away. That's not the way we're going. And that's the only way Peter knew how to go. We're going to bring in a kingdom. We're going to do it with a sword. And he says, those who live by the sword will die by it. Put it away, Peter. And at that point, Peter doesn't know what's going on anymore. It took him 3 years to figure out even that Jesus was the coming king. And now he tells me, put away the sword. So they ask him, you know this guy, Jesus. I don't know this guy. I don't know anymore. Oh, you were with him. You're one of them. Not me. I do not know. I do not know him. He denies him 3 times. And after the 3rd time, Jesus turns and looks at him because he saw what he did. So he got Peter at the lowest point in his life. But later on, after the resurrection, Jesus meets with Peter. It's recorded in John 21. And he goes to Peter and he concentrates on one thing with Peter. Do you love me? And he says 3 times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, you know I do. Why do you keep asking? And he says, well, then feed my lambs, feed my sheep. We're going to use you. You're not done. He denied the Lord of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the only good person that ever walked on this earth. And Peter rejected him just like everybody else. And Jesus comes back around at his moment of pain and says, love, just love me and love these people that are around me. So there's pain medications, and I don't think they're all evil. I think they're really, really good. And I used to take pain medications because I felt good. Yeah, it took away the pain, but I'd feel really good, and I like feeling good. So I like those things. And anymore, with me, I've noticed that, well, it isn't making me feel all that good. Yeah, it's taking away the pain, but I don't feel all that great. So, you know, why take them? And then I bend my knee just the right way. Oh, that's why I'm taking them. That's right. But we can replace the pain. We can replace the pain medications for focusing upon the other person. The other person that have gone behind, that have made it just fine. And those people are going to go ahead of us. And they'll make it just fine too. And we can reach out to help them do it. And then remember that thing of love. Romans 5:8. I'd tell you that was my favorite verse, but you wouldn't believe me. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it's a good place to focus in the midst of the pain. Others and love. You may be here this morning and you don't know about all this stuff and all the examples of faith in the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. Maybe you don't even know that they really happened. Well, it's by faith that we know they did happen. By faith, we know that the Bible is real. By faith, we know that there is a God in the midst of this pain. And by faith, we can realize Jesus began all this at the cross 2,000 years ago. And the beginning point was recognizing our need, because we've all sinned. The penalty for that sin is death. It's throughout Scripture. And it's got to be paid. Jesus paid it. That's why he came. Jesus took that penalty in our place because of his love. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, take us from here and use us in the lives of others and remind us of the lives of others. And Father, that love might characterize our lives, and they will know that we are Christians by our love. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to place their faith in Jesus Christ, right now they believe that Jesus Christ died for them, for their sins, and they're forgiven. Lord God, right now, prompt them to trust and believe that Jesus died for their sins. In Jesus' name, amen.